today on Code Pen Radio.
Hey everybody, it's time for Code Pen Radio. This is episode number 208, and this week we are going to be talking about the teeniest, tiniest little detail that actually makes a big difference in how we manage our issues on GitLab. We're going to be talking about tagging. I'm Marie Mosley, and with me today I have one of our engineers, Cassidy Williams. Hey, Cassidy.
Hi there.
So, Cassidy, you joined us in the summertime last year, so some of our tagging troubles actually predate you, which is good, because when you came along, we actually had a pretty good tag setup. But for you, and also for the listeners, I'm going to give a little bit of background about managing and tagging our issues in GitLab. First of all, GitLab is where we manage our code and also log all of our issues with the code. And we used to put literally everything in the GitLab issues board. We used to put bugs. We used to put little tweaks that we wanted to make to the site. We used to put feature requests. We used to put long-term ideas in there. And that got super messy because there wasn't a lot of sense when you looked at these boards. You know, you'd go into the issues board and see tons and tons of different, you know, maybe it's a bug, maybe it's a something that we want to add to the site. It just became a real mismatch. So, you know, that got unmanageable, and we started moving things into Notion unless they were actually bugs. Like, so we got real strict. If it was not a bug, it had to go into Notion, which we've talked about a bunch on the show. if you listen to CodePen Radio at all, you've heard us talk about Notion. But real quick, Notion is just a content management app, which we could do a whole separate show on. But we do kind of have.
We talk
about it so much. We just kind of live in there. That's where we manage our content for CodePen. And we just started moving everything in there unless it was definitely a bug. So things where it was like, all right, we'd like to make a little tweak to this, that was going into Notion. And that started to become a problem too, because a lot of stuff would kind of slip through the cracks. So we decided, okay, we have to bring some of this back into GitLab, but we have to be like super strict about how we categorize it. And so this was actually something that Rach and I worked on a lot together, was just coming up with what do we put in GitLab and how do we tag it all. So, Cassidy, when you came on, I think probably one of the first things I talked to you about, if not the actual first, was you got to tag your issues.
Yes.
So I just wanted to make sure that it looked like we had always been doing that, and that there was like a structure behind how we actually tag things.
I'm learning more and more that like there was a lot of things where it's just like, this is how it works, even though it only worked for like a week before I joined. But hey, it worked for me. So
yeah, exactly. We were like, it was a plan, you know, to just like fool all the new hires into thinking that we had our act together. But so things that we decided on, when we realized, okay, we actually have to start bringing some things back into GitLab so that they actually get worked on, was that we decided to make it so that we would open tickets on three very specific subjects. And one of them is a bug, which, you know, is kind of like the main thing that you would use an issues board for. And a bug is when something is just straight up not working as we expect it to be. And so that definitely goes into GitLab. And the other two categories that we brought in were improvements, which are when something is actually like working as we built it, but it needs a pretty significant tweak and it needs it soon. We move that into GitLab as an under the improvement tag. And then we have a brand new category. This one made its debut in 2019, so it is shiny and new. But this one is the investigating category. And this is when we're getting reports of something, but we have absolutely no way of like reproducing it, or something very strange has happened with one of our vendors who we like use code from, and we can't figure out what's happening there, and we need to gather more information, but we can't kind of let it get lost in the wilderness of Slack. We need to have one place where we're recording things and like really working this one out. So I've actually used the investigating tag twice this year, and we already figured out one just like in a day based on having an investigating ticket open. So the idea of tagging these things and like making them specific under certain categories has really kind of organized how GitLab works. And now, like, Cassidy, when you go in there at a glance, like, you can see what exactly we've got stacked up in there, right?
Yeah, if I'm not working on a specific feature, I kind of just go into GitLab and I'll just say, okay, I'm going to look at all the improvements. Maybe I can take a quick, easy one or the bugs or something like that. And yeah, it's a great way to organize it because it kind of always keeps you working if you don't have particular feature work you have to get done.
Right. I've found that as I've opened things and put more labels on them, I actually have seen them get closed faster. And it's a funny thing to think about. And this, I'm maybe getting a little ahead of myself here, but when we were first starting to put tags on things and label these things very carefully, I was starting to think, like, are we going to get a point where we just have too many tags here? Like, this is just going to be some kind of new kind of, like, anarchy of having too many tags. And I'm, like, thinking to myself, like, why not tag it as much as we need to, though? Like, why not add as much information as we can in the tags? Because then you can kind of, like, break things down by tag and kind of, like, take little slices out of the issue list that are just tied to each of these tags. And I realized the thing that was, like, kind of holding me back from adding new tags was, like, best practices from, like, SEO. Like, you know how you, like, don't want to, like, over-tag a blog post or you right. don't want to over-tag a tweet with a bunch of goofy hashtags? I was like, wait a second. This has nothing to do with that. Like, I'm not, you know, creating a bunch of pointless links to tags that aren't going to have other posts on them. This is, like, we can make as many little fragmented tags as we want, and it actually conveys more information. It's actually more helpful than being very sparing with the tags. So, and that's another thing that I talked about with Rach, because we were sort of like, oh, you know, what's the limit here on tags, you know? Mm-hmm. And she showed me this picture from the GitLab's doc, which I will add as a show note, that just has a ton of tags. Just like every issue in there has like 8 or 9 tags on it. And I'm like, okay, this is very freeing. Let's go to town.
Yeah. Well, and it's a good thing too, because then let's just say I'm working on Pro or I'm working on payments or something like that. I can happen to go into the GitLab issues and just see which ones are tagged related to the feature that I'm working on. And maybe I can fix something that's related while I'm working on a certain feature, which is really nice because then it kind of just, it adds a lot more helpfulness to the work that you're doing.
And yeah, and that's I think the key to getting things fixed faster, because when you're working on one particular category, it totally makes sense to go in and look for more on that same category. And so I've been super happy to see as we add new devs and as we work on new things, things get knocked out a lot faster because we've clarified what the issues are, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because I know that we recently added a tag that is easy. The tag is the word easy, and it's the tag that you add to a bug or an improvement or whatever that you think is easy. And I've only added it once, and then I found out it was not as easy as I thought it was. So you have to be very bold to make the choice to add the easy tag to something. But I've seen people do it, and I've seen things get closed quickly when it's got that tag on it.
Yeah, there's a few that I've added with the easy tag where it's just like, I know that this is the kind of fix that will take less than 10 minutes, but I just can't take it right now. And then it right. gets taken like right away just because it is a 10-minute fix. And so I like the easy tag because then I can go in and kind of feel productive if I'm in a bit of a lull.
It's funny because, you know, we get feedback sometimes from members who are like, oh, you know, I want this feature and I'm sure it's easy. And it's like, there's a bit more to it, you know, yeah. And then I get in and I'm labeling things. Oh, easy. Slap the easy tag on this one. And right away I learned.
Surprise.
How about this? It's not as easy as I thought it was.
Yeah.
But
which is always how it is. There's always there's always going to be something that you don't know. And then all of a sudden you're in a rabbit hole. There's been some projects that I've worked on where we'll be just like, oh, yeah, this will be done in like week and a half, 2 weeks. And then it takes a month. And it's just how code works sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, you have to, I think estimating time, actually that would probably make another interesting episode, but estimating how long things would take is just, there's an art to it. And also I think you just have to have a bit of flexibility to understand that your estimate is probably you know, it's called an estimate for a reason. It's not going to be exactly right, you know. Mm-hmm. But that's one of the tags that we've added recently, easy. But we've also added some status tags too, which that one's not quite a status tag. It's more of like a, you know, an assessment of what you're looking at bug-wise. But we have status tags that have also really helped with organizing things and making sure that people actually get working on things when we really need them done. There's the priority tag, which is like, drop everything, we got to fix this. This is a major, major issue. And luckily, I haven't had to pull that one out too many times. But when I do, we all hop to it and it gets solved. So that's great.
Yeah.
We also have the in progress tag, which is really helpful for preventing people from overlapping with work, because we have, you know, we're all in different time zones. We're actually in different parts of the world. And having the in progress tag lets you, you know, take an issue. It's a little bit more than just assigning it to yourself. It's taking it and showing I'm actually working on this one. So it keeps us all from like crossing each other. And then there's the on hold label, which we've started using for things that are blocked, which has also been very helpful because you can kind of go through and check out things that are on hold and you can see, is there something that I can do to remove the block here? And I think that one's, you know, that one, luckily, we haven't had to use a ton either, but it's been very useful. And I've seen discussions happen around that tag where it's like, okay, why is this blocked? Let's dig into what's blocking this. And then we figure it out and we get the thing rolling again.
Yeah. I think the in progress tag is my favorite one because there have been so many times where I'll almost start like thinking about a bug or getting deeper into it. And that I notice that there's an in progress tag and then I can go specifically to that dev, whether it be Rach or Alex or whoever, and say, okay, I have some insights on this one. Here's what I would do. And then we can kind of talk about it. So it promotes discussion as well as the lack of overlap, which is really nice.
Oh, that's true. I hadn't even thought about it that way, but you're right, because then you know who's working on it. You know they are working on it, and you can add a little bit to it. That's really useful.
Yeah, it's great. And it's especially been helpful when I have an in progress ticket and then people can say, "Hey, by the way, I did all of this work back in the day and here's some of the context that might be helpful for solving it," which is very nice sometimes when you're banging your head against the wall about something.
Especially since you're working with what I guess, you know, a code base that's got a lot of legacy code in it, let's just put it that way.
There was one where like the code I fixed was 3 years old and I was just like, oh man,
oh my goodness,
this is like spiderweb code and it was a little messy, but it was fixed.
Yeah, it's interesting having a mixture of, you know, devs who've been working on it since literally the beginning of CodePen time, and then brand new devs bringing in new perspective and just like a new approach to fixing things. But yeah, like the old time knowledge of why we did it in the first place is always really good to have a bit of that involved, because a lot of the times it's like you start to poke at something and you're like, wait, oh, this, a whole lot of things rely on this, or this relies on a whole lot of other things. And
right.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to be able to check.
Yeah, especially also as we're converting more and more of the app to React and using GraphQL more and stuff, there's some weird code overlaps and some different things that have to be added just to make sure things stay intact as different parts of the old code base is ripped out and different things are added in. And It's been interesting and yeah, being able to tag issues around certain branches and things has been really helpful in that regard.
You know, it makes me think we ought to have a jQuery tag.
Oh yeah.
we should probably throw that in.
We probably should.
When we know.
Or just legacy, because then we can have.
Oh yeah, legacy. Some of the legacy, it's much folks. More it has a nice respectable sound to, you know, legacy.
For veterans only.
but that would give you the understanding that this is going to be something that's related to older code and you're going to need to work through that. So it lets you know that there's a layer of complexity there that you might not have expected. So, but you know, that's a process and we are gradually moving away from that. And as that falls by the wayside, yeah, just having legacy would make sense. See, we're coming up with tags right on the show. It's amazing.
Yeah. Wow. You heard it here, folks.
That's right. We're putting in a jQuery tag.
This episode of CodePen Radio is brought to you by Jetpack. That's jetpack.com. It's a WordPress plugin, you know, for your self-hosted WordPress site that brings tons of power from the WordPress.com universe over to your, you know, your self-hosted site. So they're massive hosting infrastructure and all that. But it's not just, it's not just about the power. It's just, it brings like this wealth of different features to your site. So, you know, backups is one of them that we've talked about. Social media integration is one we've talked about. I just used a feature of Jetpack just the other day that I had never used before, but I found it to be tremendously useful in the moment. One is that, like, I just had a movie sitting on my desktop. You know, I record little movies all the time for something to, like, just explain a bug. Or at CodePen, we use little short movies to post to Instagram and to post to social media of people's interesting work on CodePen. Anyway, I all the time have little video clips that I want to use for something, and they vary. Sometimes you shoot a really quick clip and it's tiny. It's like 800 kilobytes or something, which for a video is really small. Or sometimes it's like 15 megabytes or hundreds of megabytes or something. You might know that on a self-hosted WordPress site, there has something to do with your host and your PHP settings and all that stuff. There's like a maximum upload size for images and video. And if you drag something too big on there, you just get like a warning in WordPress. It's like, that's too big. You can't upload that. It's above the setting that we allow. And that's fine. It's just that, like, okay, if it's a big image, find somewhere else to host it or shrink it down. It's just kind of a warning. Maybe you can get around it by making it smaller. But if it's a video, maybe I'll put it on YouTube or whatever. But, like, what should I do? Make it unlisted, and then there's that whole rigmarole for uploading it there. No, Jetpack brings, like, WordPress.com video hosting, which is, like, super fast, has a really nice player. It's totally ad-free. They have their own WordPress video player, and you can just use it if you have Jetpack on your site. And there's, you know, the uploading limit isn't there. So you go onto WordPress.com, open the media uploader for your site there, and drag and drop your larger movie file there. And then it's just automatically in the same media picker thing on your self-hosted WordPress site. So you're like, I was working on a Gutenberg site, and I made a new Gutenberg block for a video, uploaded on WordPress.com, but then picked the movie out of the image player there, and it just worked great. It just looked like every other video on the site. It's just that one was hosted on WordPress's servers with Jetpack's thing. It was great. It was just a nice little feature, and I was like, that works. I can use it because I have Jetpack. So thanks, Jetpack.
One of the really nice things about GitLab that I really appreciate with how the tagging works is that you can create a tag, and then you can give the tag a description that is as long as you want, really. You can and just tell people exactly what this tag means. So, you know, if you hover over a tag in GitLab, it'll show you the description of the tag, which I find really, really useful because it makes it so that people can just, like, jump right in and start tagging things and know, okay, like, I can use this tag for this type of thing. They don't have to ask around or be concerned about using a tag that's not appropriate because they're all described.
Right. Yeah. And that's also helpful, like, if something were, for example, a really, really long tag name, like if you had one that was like accepting merge requests for this issue, you could just be like AMR or something a little description there so you don't have to search that. And yeah, I do really appreciate that about it. And also, if there's some tags that I just haven't seen before because it's just on bugs that I haven't looked at, it's nice. It's a good way, especially for a fully remote team and we're bringing on devs who just kind of need to figure out how to orient themselves in the system. It's anything that provides more documentation is always good in that regard.
Yeah, and that's something that we've all worked towards as a goal, just making sure that everything is documented. And I think it reflects here. You know, we document our tags. Our tags literally have documentation attached to them. So it's been very helpful to have that feature. Another thing that's really, really nice about how you can use tags in GitLab is that you can create the board view, and you can see them like a Kanban style board. Mm-hmm. And I've also found that useful in just getting like an overview of what exactly we have in these particular tag categories and things like that. So that's been really helpful to me. I actually don't remember how that compares to GitHub because we've been in GitLab for so long. I don't know if they have the same features in GitHub. I wouldn't be surprised if they did.
Yeah, you can add a bunch of different tags, but I haven't seen anything related to changing the view of tags or issues.
Yeah, and I don't I don't recall descriptions on them either. I think that might be a GitLab thing. So yeah. that's pretty cool.
That might be kind of a fun Chrome extension to write for GitHub, being able to like sort tags and stuff. Project idea, writing it down.
Oh, come on. You got a lot of project ideas.
I know.
But one thing I wanted to ask you about is how does this compare to other places that you worked before, and how in terms of how they tag and just label issues?
It is different in a good way, because I've worked at companies that are mostly bigger. I think the next smallest company that I've worked for besides CodePen was 18 people when I joined, and then I worked for Amazon. I worked for some very large companies before.
They have a couple people over there. I think I've heard of them.
Handful. What's different about us, because we don't have like a dedicated project management team, we're all doing this ourselves, and we have to be very specifically organized about this with all of these tags and documentation and stuff. Because normally on other teams that I've worked on, because there's PMs around, they're the ones who kind of assign us tickets. And just as a developer, you just do what you're told pretty much. Mm-hmm. And you don't really need to worry about tagging an issue or figuring out what certain tags mean, because that's what the PM does. And they just say, okay, well, these are the tags, the tickets that need to be done. And they handle all organization and stuff. And they just kind of say, team, take these ones. You can decide amongst yourselves who wants to get it done. As long as it's done, that's what matters. So there's a lot more ownership with this kind of model, because especially as a developer, when I'm making an issue or when I'm looking at issues, this is something where like I am not only determining the priority for myself, but I'm also like making sure that this particular issue I might be creating is tagged appropriately, so that way whoever takes it is as prepared as possible to fix it. It's more ownership on our end, which honestly I kind of like, because it feels like we kind of get to determine our own destiny rather than having a PM just say, okay, this is what you got to do, go. And you just
nice.
Accepting it.
You know, it's funny. I was expecting like the opposite answer. I was expecting that we were like tagging amateurs or something. So that's actually really cool to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting way to approach it. And I'm glad we approach it this way, because I feel like by owning our own projects and organizing ourselves, like, yes, a professional project manager might be able to guide us in certain directions when needed. But by doing it this way, we're kind of keeping it, like customer focused, I think. And it's not as much like business focused. And that's one of the things that I really like about CodePen in general, is we're not just trying to meet deadlines because the stakeholders in the company or certain things need to get done because the CEO says so. Like we're doing it because this is what we think is best for CodePen and best for the developers that use it. And that's, I love doing that.
Yeah. I really do love that about just the whole culture of CodePen. Our people that use CodePen, they're our stakeholders, you know, they're the ones that we're working for. So yeah, it's interesting that you say that, because when I was coming up with a lot of these tags, the idea behind them was, you know, how does this affect our customers, like categories of customers using particular types of parts of the app. You know, everybody's use case for CodePen is so different that, you know, we have many, many different types of users, and just creating tags that kind of like identify things that affect particular groups is also been part of the whole tagging process.
Right. Yeah.
We have the one frequent reports, which is even if it's a little tiny thing, but it's just that it's coming up for a lot of people. We have a tag that just says frequent reports. This has happened to a lot of people. We get a lot of reports about it. And then that kind of helps prioritize things too. Even if it's not like a showstopper, even if it's not making things stop working, we know that it's creating a situation where people are having a problem that's annoying enough to write in about.
Right. Which, if they're talking to us, then that means that it's bugging them enough that it matters.
Totally. Because when I experience a bug in an app, I do nothing. I like try to find a way around it, or I'm like, oh, I'm sure they'll fix it. You know?
Yeah.
And I think that actually a lot of people are that way about these types of things. They don't necessarily open up a ticket, because why bother? You know, you figure the people who are doing it will sort it out and I'll find a workaround, or I just won't use this,
right?
You know, and we don't want that. So when we have something that's being reported a lot, even if it's super minor, like there's a letter T missing from something or something like that, it was coming up a lot. We just want to get it taken care of because it's bothering a lot of people.
Yeah, and I think that this also ties in with support duty, which we did a podcast on that a while back, where every Friday someone on the team works on support, and we are the ones answering emails and making sure customers get heard, because this is Marie's day-to-day. But it's good to actually see what people are also talking about and creating issues when you're the one actually talking to the users, because then it kind of... It reminds you that there's a human behind all of these reports. It's not just a tag. These are the people who are saying, this is bugging me, this is an issue.
Yeah, I really like that perspective. It's funny because I have seen the frequent reports tag go on to stuff on Fridays more often than any other day, because that's when an engineer is sitting in the support seat and they're like, whoa, what's going on here? And I'm like, well, okay, yeah, there is a bug for that. And then I'll go back and see the bug later. And there it is, frequent reports right on there.
Yeah. So
it's been really helpful. And I think that, you know, as we go forward, I actually think we're only going to add more tags. I don't see us scaling it back at all. I think that as we move forward and as we have, you know, more going into CodePen and hear more from our members, we're just going to have more. Now that I've gotten rid of my fear of over-tagging, y'all better watch out because there's going to be some tags.
Hey, I mean, if it gets the issues fixed, that's what matters.
Exactly, yeah. So to our listeners, I'd be curious to hear about how open source projects or closed source projects handle labeling and tagging and issues, and if, you know, how you triage and things like that. You can let us know about that in the comments on this podcast, or you can also talk to us about it in our Spectrum community. That's at spectrum.chat/codepen. And that's our show for today. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye-bye.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Seven, six, zero, three, one, eight.